Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, and my guest this morning is Nate Barnett. He is a Sitka Fellow in Residence at the Island Institute. And Nate, what is this piece that is playing right now?
You're listening to Ray Fawn Williams' cantata, Dona Nobis Pacem, and this is the third movement, which is a setting of text from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass.
That's beautiful. What about it do you find so inspiring? So you're a music director, a composer, a singer. Your life is fully immersed in music. What do you like about this piece in particular?
Oh, well, this is, it's a wonderful piece because cantatas are hundreds and hundreds of years old, and often they've been set to religious texts. But Vaughan Williams here has brought in poetry from American poets, and I think was really attempting to universalize the experience of religious observance and notions of the sacred.
Hmm. So let's start with where you came from and how you landed on this kind of music that inspires you so much and that you're writing yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rochester, New York.
And when did you start singing? Were you born with a...
I was always singing. My whole family was always singing.
Okay.
We sang together. I used to sing show tunes when I was like 3, and it was just part of what we did when I was growing up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I hear you have perfect pitch. That was that little secret was, what does perfect pitch even mean? Do you get a badge saying this is the how does one measure it and how do you develop it? How'd you develop it?
Well, perfect pitch is just the ability to identify out of context a given pitch at any moment, pitch being a sound frequency. And I developed it when I was really little, about 4. My dad started giving us piano lessons. And when we would get tired of playing, he would actually put us under the piano and do what he called ear training. And he would sort of play a note and he would say, "What's this note?" And mostly we wouldn't be able to do it, but it started to catch on with me and my sisters. It didn't really work, but eventually I was really able to identify the notes he was playing. And so the more I honed the skill, the more I could use it in choirs. And oftentimes I've been in choirs and I will sort of give the starting pitch.
Okay. Yeah. And after you left home, how did that perfect pitch see you through? What kind of music did you do after that?
Well, it's funny. I did a lot of a cappella music in college, and that's probably where I used it the most because when you don't have instruments, you either use a pitch pipe or sometimes people are cheesy and use a phone. But any groups I was in, we used me. And it was kind of a way to surprise the audience. They're like, where's that note coming from? Like, how'd they do that?
It's a human pitch pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Nate, you're in Sitka. You arrived in July and you're here through August 30th working on a project. What is that project all about?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on a cantata of my own.
Okay,
or at least
what's a cantata?
What I'm calling it. So a cantata. Yeah, so a cantata is historically it's just a vocal piece with orchestra, but in this context, it is a choral piece with orchestra that also has solo movements and instrumental movements. And so I'm particularly interested in sort of sacred music. But non-religious sacred music, music that people can come together and feel a sense of worship and praise together without it being tied to any sort of specific religion that may divide them.
Hmm. What's an example of this that people might know? Or is it something that
of a cantata? Well, probably the most famous cantatas ever are Bach's cantatas. And he wrote over 100 of them. And they're performed in some places every week. Those are specifically Christian cantatas. And that is where the term comes from. But since then, more modern cantatas have been written. There actually was a cantata called The Light of Asia in the late 1800s, which was about the life of Buddha. But these terms evolve. And so you may not have heard a cantata outside of Bach's, if you've heard that at all. But really, any orchestral choral piece, you know, they sort of meld together. And so if you've heard one of those, then you'll have an idea of what you're going to get.
How did you land on this desire to write cantatas that aren't purely about religious themes, but are meant to kind of bring in all kinds of people?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I'm writing a cantata now, but really I'm more interested in just choral music in general as a vehicle for For the spiritual. And I, when I came to college, I started singing in churches because it was a good job. You can be a hired singer in many churches in New Haven, and it's a nice way to keep singing and to get a paycheck. But as I started doing it more, I really fell in love with the community there, and I really loved the way that it was bringing people together to sing. And so the only problem I had with it was that there was still this sort of doctrinal thing that was turning people away, that made a lot of my friends uncomfortable. And so I sort of thought, you know, is there a way to do this where anybody can be involved and where we can encourage people to be singing more and getting in touch with that side of themselves?
You know, I read a study that I think it was done by a group of scientists overseas, mm-hmm. that when groups sing together, their hearts start to synchronize. They've measured people's heartbeat, and it actually starts to mirror one another after you sing for a prolonged period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that. I would guess that there's lots of things like that yeah. we don't even know about.
Yeah. Now, what is the choral work that you're writing, the cantata you're writing, what is mm-hmm. it about?
What is it about? Well, you know, it's about a lot of things. I came here basically to study the texts of various religions to get sort of more broad ideas about how to live well, how to live morally, good reasons to celebrate. And so it will be sort of broad topics. And since I've been here, I've been interested in sort of tying in more natural themes that I've been experiencing. And so, you know, the way that spring is sort of connected to birth, and the way that winter is connected to death. I mean, these are things that we sort of feel, but that when we verbalize them, we can kind of feel our own connection to nature, and I think it puts us in touch with the flow of things. So those are all themes that are going to show up, and it will include some sort of communal singing. So I'm trying to get the audience to sing along too, and so.
Yes, you are teaching a workshop that is taking place tomorrow,
yes.
called Demystifying Music, from 7 to 8:30. So what's so neat about this Sitka Fellows program is each fellow opens up their doors, their hearts to the community, and teaches a workshop about something. What are participants going to do?
Sure.
And will singing be involved?
Singing will most definitely be involved. Yeah, Demystifying Music, it's kind of a vague title, but really we'll be talking about the structure of music. And in particular, we'll be kind of comparing it to familiar structures like architecture, and the way that we can sort of more concretely conceptualize music in this way, comparing it to physical structure, so that we feel kind of more able to create it ourselves. So we're going to sort of break down some music into its component structures, and then build up at the end our very own piece, and that's when you're going to get to sing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds so so this is 7 to 8:30 in Fraser Hall on the Sheldon Jackson campus. And Solomon Endlich is in the studio as well. He is the coordinator of all the fellows. And I'm wondering what Nate was talking about, being inspired by his environment. It's actually changing the piece he's writing. Is that kind of par for the course when it comes to the fellowship? You come with an idea, but then it gets informed by the environment that you're in, where you're doing this residency in Sitka.
Yeah, I think that's probably part of the process, part of any creative process, especially when it's over some long period of time and you're just not making slight modifications to a theme. I mean, every fellow is really trying to do something a little different than what they've done in the past, and I think that's what this fellowship is about, is offering them that opportunity to really grow. I mean, 7 weeks is a pretty decent chunk of time, and it's enough time to think you know what you're doing, figure out maybe that's not the best route, find a new direction and go there, and in the end really arrive somewhere, you know, really amazing.
Yeah. And Nate, so who has been inspiring you lately as you've wandered around Sitka, or an idea, or even a piece of music that you've been thinking about these past few weeks?
Yeah, well, just this Sunday I was over with the Shape Note Singers. And that was, you know, that's, I think, a really wonderful example of community singing working well. So that was a really inspiring opportunity to go sing with them. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of more contemporary choral music to sort of get those juices flowing. But,
okay. And yeah. Will people get to hear your piece at the end of the...
Yeah, my hope is fellowship. That we'll be able to perform it at the end of August. Okay. I'm looking at the last Saturday, which I believe is the 29th. So that's not for certain yet. I will make sure you know when it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nate Barnett is a SICA fellow, and Solomon Endlich is one of the facilitators helping him out. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.